Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody.
Well, it's another busy week.
Yeah,
in the world of coaching. I know that I've had to do some travel and go on site for some of the folks that I coach, and man, it's always interesting because those are some pretty full days, and with the travel going there and coming back, it just kind of
I was traveling as well to North Carolina. Yeah, I got back late Sunday, so yeah, the profession takes us on the road too, which is interesting. One of the things I love about that, Bruce, I'm sure you know, you and I have talked about it. Just going into different parts of the country, into different cities, and corporations, and I teach, as well, and really so many different people from all walks of life that we not only support in our profession of coaching, but that we meet who are drawn to the coaching profession, people that are drawn for support that need a coach, as well as different types of people that are drawn to the coaching profession. And I thought maybe it might be fun to start just a little bit about some conversation around that today. You know, what kind of people do you see and drawn, Bruce, into this profession? If you had to do a personality profile of them. I mean, I know they're from all walks of life, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think a good place to start for me is to kind of go down the roster of all the people that I have connected to get their coach, their CPC, okay? One of the things we didn't talk about, but somebody who has been on the show who had the CEAP, she's been on the show with us before. She was in Luke Benoit's class this week in Florida, I believe. And so she got her CPC this weekend. So she's now a certified coach. And I'm thinking of several other folks that I've connected. So I think... what I can say is, so with the lady who was in Luke's class, right, with Mary, she had a business background, and she is wanting to coach executives and do some similar work that I do, you know what I mean, and start coaching executives and doing the work there. The other gentleman worked for a large corporation that sold I don't want to say cookware, but anyway, but right, he had a sales force. He has a sales force he needs to motivate to sell those products, and using coaching techniques
and skills,
and skills to empower those leaders and those sales force people to sell those products all over the world, right? So that these coaching techniques are colorblind and culture blind. They're just very humanistic, and they cut to the core of all human beings, of all cultures, which is huge, you know what I mean? Because sometimes in counseling and psychotherapy, it's like, oh, well, you're a white therapist talking to a black man, and all this, whoa, wait a minute, hold on a minute. You know, and that culture foul card gets played. Well, that's just not the case with coaching.
No, not with coaching.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No,
it's just all walks of life, all races,
right,
all cultures.
Absolutely.
All different countries.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
We have people coming over here to get certified because there's such great schools here. Not that there aren't in other places in the world as well, but I certainly it's so colorful in nature in terms of the people that this profession draws. And I've had experience as a teacher to meet some incredibly talented, creative, credentialed, passionate, heartfelt individuals. So I'd have to say, it really draws people from all walks of life. But I think the underlying core, what I see a lot of times is I tend to see on the people I interact with is that desire to help, to support, to serve.
Right.
That seems to be like the number one thing that pulls people together and draws them to the profession. And then I tend to think if anything else rises up, in my estimation, would be it also draws huge numbers of what I would call intuitive people into the profession. It seems like there's a lot of people that just have a little bit of gifted areas of intuition, right, that they apply to the practice of coaching. Right. But certainly people from all walks of life and professional walks of life come into coaching to serve. I think that's number one. What do you think in terms of?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And plus, I actually have a press release that's talking about intuitive work with Apple. So if y'all want to Google that and find that, that's interesting. I have a intuitive press release about what's going on over at Apple and how they can benefit from coaching. But yeah, I think that and coaching is a great place for the intuitive folks to go into, because it's an area that their intuitive gifts can shine and they can effectuate and share those and share that with other coaching with their coaching clients. And it's kind of hard, you know. Again, if you're I'm an intuitive business consultant, people think you're smoking crack, or I'm an
right,
intuitive.
Right. It's a little woo woo
yeah,
for some people.
Yeah, there we go, woo woo again.
But this intuitive thing, you know, is people from all walks of life professionally too. Some people are gifted with more of an intuitive side. That does, and also the people that are the spiritual advisors, the energy right. People, the healers, the people that do intuitive work professionally are also drawn into coaching to learn the skill set. But I think I'm really thinking more about it. There's that group, but it's also tends to be people drawn across the board into coaching a lot. I see a lot of people that have that skill. And I feel that they have that ability.
Right. And so, that ability, it's kind of given me some good pause to reflect on that and not to underestimate that facet that we are all spiritual beings I'm even taking a look at myself and going, now, wait a minute, you know, sometimes I would just call that, well, I'm just intuitive, you know, or
I just say I'm just a quick processor.
There you go. Quick study, quick processor. And like, well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's still an ongoing introspection piece, you know. What else? I know we had another lady that went through, and I think you were her instructor, but she's going to be doing federal prison consulting, but also working with private prisons and working with government contractors to get money from the prison system for certain things, and actually using those coaching techniques in her prison consulting business, which I'm a little familiar with as well. But she's doing it at another level, at the institution level. And so that was an interesting, you know, person.
Yeah, the stories are fabulous. Yeah. I mean, like just the guests we have on the show, the coaches we meet on the road, the students I've trained, right. amazing stories, amazing human beings that take their life story, their personal experiences, their professional credentials and experience, and take it into the field of coaching to help all kinds of different people, different niches, different target audiences. Mostly, you know, I have always felt is very non-competitive. Although once in a while I see people who get kind of proprietary about some of the business ideas or some of the, you know, business plans that they have, but not too often. I don't see that too much. It seems to be such a growing profession, and you think, wow, how can there be enough business, you know, for everybody that's entering the field of coaching? But seems to be, you know, that the right, and that's that whole energy thing that you were talking about, Bruce, is that it seems like we draw the people that need our special kind of support and help, you know, and guidance through coaching. like the universe kind of, I know it sounds woo-woo, but it's like the universe sort of lines us up to do a certain work, and through our connections, the synchronicity of our connections, we draw those people that are unique to needing our type of support and help as a coach.
Yeah, and you know, I want to go back on that whole competition thing, because
I think it's always interesting, because corporate, you know, like I spent, you know, 30 years in the corporate world, you know, companies were always worried what the competition was doing. You know, I was always like, let's just, you know, do the best we can do, you know, let's just, but I think it's interesting.
And I'm working with a few young coaches, and they're all kind of, oh my gosh, and how am I going to get clients and this and that? I'm like, hey, listen, you just need to be true to yourself. Water seeks its own level. So what happens is, and I'll
like
myself
that.
For, yeah, it does. Water seeks its own level. So I'll pick on me for a second. So I started, right? I mean, I started with a certain mindset, even late 15 to early 2016. Now, as time progressed, and I've had certain media opportunities, I've had this show. This is a great opportunity, of course. But I've had certain media opportunity. I've taken on certain types of clients, which have led to other subsequent clients. And now what I'm doing is shifting just a little bit. And at the end of the day, what is occurring here is I am my own brand. So for this guy I'm coaching, we'll call him John. His name isn't John, but I'm going to call him John. So for John, John is going to be his own brand, and that's going to be different from my own brand, which is going to be different to this next guy who, quote, quote, looks like a competitor. But at the end of the day, you're really selling yourself, your personality, as well as the coaching skills. Don't get me wrong there. But I think the thing that differentiates, like, me from you, you know what I mean? You and I have we have similar coaching skills and techniques at bay, but – good Lord, you know what I mean? I mean, and that's
right.
A good
thing. Everybody,
you know, you and I are very different. We're very different.
Right, right. It's just what we uniquely have to offer. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And every coach has something unique to offer their particular client base, and that's what I love about this profession. Quite frankly, I mean, there's a lot I love about it, and I think people feel intuitively drawn, or the universe just lines up and pulls them into the profession. And once they land, not everybody, you know, I mean, some people, I'm sure. Well, I know for a fact that some people come in just for the skill set. They, you know, they're sent by somebody they work for. They're going to layer it in to maybe their current practice as a counselor or therapist. So some people come in to learn the skills, and I'm a big believer that the skill set anybody could benefit from. So, you know, you and I started this show with the intention of trying to expose to people what coaching is and what it isn't, and really how it can support not only individuals, but bringing in different types of coaches, so everybody can see that it's just an immense profession, serving all walks of life. But also, like, how, I know you and I talk about a lot about how it can serve, you know, well, I do a lot of business startup coaching, so how it could serve the startup company, the mid-sized company, big corporations. There's, you know, there's a big need to support employees, and just to me, it's vast, it's endless, it's, you know.
I think, Cindy, what we do is the last. We're one of the last sources of hope, optimism, and resilience. That's
great.
What I like to bring. Yeah, we're the last.
I love that.
Because but it's true. It's true. And here's how I'll say this.
For many reasons.
Well, just alone in, with my corporate clients, right? Corporate mentality, corporate goals, metrics, things
pressure.
That need to be done, the pressure, the ever-changing
marketplace. Urgency.
I mean, think of all the poor brick-and-mortar stores in the United States of America that are getting crushed by Amazon. I'm just saying, I love Amazon. I'm an Amazon addict. But boy, you know, just the ever changing landscape of things.
Oh, that's shifting. That's shifting mighty quickly. Yeah,
right.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that said, so I'm getting these clients that are under the gun. And do you think there's hope and optimism in the workplace? No. If it is, it's every man or every woman for himself. with their own hope and optimism, applying that to reach their own goals, and somehow it funnels through the company. You see what I mean? But I don't see a lot of company cultures with hope and optimism. I mean, they're out there. Don't get me wrong.
Right. I think there's a lot of people out there doing good work, but the change, it's just like the, everything continually changes, but it, the last 5 to 10 years have been huge shifts, huge shifts, almost to where people can't manage the change. Not to mention in the corporate landscape, the business landscape, the political landscape, the international. What about people's personal lives? You know, because we were talking about that earlier. You know, people go to work as an employee. And, you know, it's not really wise to bring all your personal stuff into work, right? You're there to do a job and be professional. But a lot of times they're dealing and shouldering a lot of change and obstacles and cycles of difficulty in their own personal life that may be dragging them down in terms of their optimism at work or their, you know, ability to perform at the level that a company would like them to.
Right. And it's just, you know,
tricky business.
Right. We can't necessarily control the future or the ever changing landscape of commerce and business. We can't do that. However, we're all human and we are fairly finite, I think, in terms of, okay, you got to sleep, right? You got to sleep so many hours.
Right.
You're awake so many hours. You have to
self-care, self-care,
all this other stuff. So we
relationships.
Are pretty exact relationships, commitments, and those.
What
things.
About your domestic? What about your domestic duty? I mean, like that
right.
whole side of your life. Your kid,
being,
if kids,
yeah, being
if
a father,
a
being a husband,
right.
all that other stuff. Yeah, and being a wife and a husband and a father and a mother and a family member and a citizen and all this other stuff. So yeah, at
not
the end
to
of the
mention
day,
trying to shove some fun in there. What about some fun?
right. And so now we have a week that's getting kind of full. So it is finite. And so as a coach, I don't get overwhelmed by that because I know I'm dealing with another human being like myself. And our job is to live our life. And we've got to live our life. I mean, that's our job on this planet, is to live our lives. And how we do that is up to our free will. I mean, we have free will to make choices. And that's where having a coach comes in handy. That A, is positive, optimistic, healthy, and B, you know, I'm not going to lie. A lot of what I do, Cindy, is holding people accountable. A lot of what I do at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Well putting their tootsies to the fire and applauding them when they move forward. I love the success stories. I had a coaching session yesterday. I mean, I was so happy for the decision she was making and the progress she had. It was just a powerful, powerful, intelligent woman. You know, just incredible. And it's very satisfying. So, helping people move through the debris and the obstacles so that they can get done what they want in their life, and hold them accountable. Remind them, this is what you want, you know?
Right.
It's
and
cool.
And also, folks, you know, Cindy and I in our pre-production meeting today, we're going to be getting some guests on here from a variety of ethnicities, okay? And we're going to show that these coaching techniques are culture unbiased, culture, you know what I mean? They're biased.
I love what you said it very well. You said colorblind and culture blind.
Colorblind, baby. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know? I love it. It's so much fun to meet and interact and work with all different cultures, all different color, race, creed.
Right.
It's just a big, big, colorful world out there. And I'm going to tell you something. When you are a coach, a business coach, I mean, I do all, you know, different types of coaching. Oh, my gosh. The people that you meet, the stories you hear, the progress
Why don't you share with me some of the women and the empowering strong women that you met up with in Raleigh or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
You were really on a tear there. Go ahead and share that with us.
Yeah. I've been doing, more teaching through, I guess what I would call like the Bible Belt, the Texas through the South.
And, the Bible Belt.
I got to tell you some incredible human beings. What did you call it?
I called it the libel belt, but it's all right. I submarined you there. Go ahead. The Bible belt, the libel belt. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, I don't know. I don't even know if that's a good way to describe it. You know, I'm sure
it was a bad joke, folks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that some people would protest that live there. You know, I mean,
all right.
You know, we meet people from all walks of life, but, you know, I have met some incredibly spiritual and gifted and compassionate, work through their own stuff to rise up and push through and get out and help other human beings. I mean, I had people in my class, you know, working in the field of sex trafficking and, you know, some of the work these women are doing. I mean, young women working through their own trauma to get out there and be to get out on the stage and really put a platform together to get out and support people and bring things out of the closet that are happening in people's individual lives and across this country that really shouldn't be happening, you know, like, and you know, you've worked in that field, Bruce, so you have a lot of experience there, but just like amazing. And these strong, beautiful, powerful, fun, passionate Black women, they are just like, they're so contagious. They're so, I can't even put enough words, good words around it. I am just love being in their presence and their energy and their enthusiasm. It's just, you know, dancing, hugging and praying and just laughing and just, it's just fills me up. It's just been incredible experience for me.
Right. And again, and, you know, with the down here in the Dallas area with Latifah and company and some of the other folks that have rolled that are in the Dallas squad down here that you've taught and whatnot that I've
made
the cameo appearance. Right. And look, I mean, how great is that? You know what I mean? They don't have those barriers like a stuffy white dude like me has. I'm not a stuffy white dude, but I just figured I'd throw myself out. But you know what I mean?
I'm not, but
if I was, I would be stuffed. But anyway, but man, they just let it go. They're real. They're in the moment. And man, that's just so great because that's really real. They're true to themselves and they're not, there's no pretense. And so we're going to have some guests, you know, on here in the coming weeks. And boy, I know I got a couple in my mind right now. I'm sure Cindy, you do too. And we'll line some folks up here.
Message and service line that they're going to get out and do. And it's, I mean, I just like, I'm so inspired by the people and I feel so fortunate to be able to do what I do professionally, you know, to have spent a lot of time in business and be able to help people with, you know, their businesses and help mm-hmm. people move forward in their personal life and maybe launching a business. I love to work with people launching, you know, that's such an mm-hmm. exciting phase. I'm very entrepreneurial spirited. And it's just amazing. Like I guess it's what I consider it is it's like a privilege. It's such a privilege mm-hmm. to be able to help support and coach incredible human beings. It's just really a privilege.
It is. And everybody in the class is looking, you know, I love feeling that energy because they're just looking forward to the next chapter in their life. And they've invested in going to a coaching school to get that credential because they are really anticipating some of the possibilities that are ahead of them in this next chapter of their lives. And what's so exciting is that for each and every person in that class, it's going to unfold in its own special and unique way.
Right.
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 Like snowflakes are different. Even identical twins have different fingerprints. Well, such is the case with life coaches and executive coaches that they're just, you know, everybody is different, but not everybody knows that going in, right? They think they might be competing with the girl sitting next to them or whatever. And they're really not.
No, huh?
You know what I mean? And I have whatever, you know, I don't want to say wisdom and discernment to believe that, but that's just the way if you keep chugging, that's the way it forms out. And so you are your own brand and your own service line, then you use coaching. So
I believe it's very non-competitive, and I've believed it for a long, long time. And I believe that it's also a very collaborative profession and industry. People are very supportive of each other, mm-hmm. and that's really cool. Okay. You know,
so you know what? That. So let's just add that good log onto the good fire here. One, we talked about we are the source of optimism and hope that hopefully builds resilience in our colleagues around us. It is a sphere of non-competition and cooperation. Man, this is like the anti-corporation. You know what I mean? In terms of, anyway, I mean, it's, you know, it really is a great, it is a great place.
I just think that it's just the time in the history where of our world where we need it. People need support more than they ever have, in my mind. And when I sit with people, I hear it and I see it. And people are so busy. I don't, you know, at least in this country. I mean, I don't get to experience every cultural. I'm not in every part of the world. You know what I mean? But I do know that in this country and the people I work with, the people I live with, the people I relate to, my friends, my social circle, everybody is crazy busy. And to have somebody who sits with you, is present with you, to help you make your choices and make your calls and decisions and what you want out of your life and move it forward, it really is a gift to people, because they don't often and they may not have somebody helping them through that, you know, somebody that will really sit non-judgmentally and let them find their answers and move their life forward and put themselves first in the focus. Because sometimes we get caught up in, so like you were talking about, all these roles and hats we wear that we don't get a lot of time to really focus on you know, moving our own lives forward.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're right. So, you know, I think that you're right. We are moving into an era where things are so fast paced. And even though people have families, I still think people are very alone and they're very lonely, you know, or during the working, you know, they're kind of the lone ranger. And I kind of feel like, wow, how great that is. I get to be a part of their life. And they don't have to be alone. They don't have to get their metrics alone. They don't have to do re-goaling and whatever in white space and green space alone. That they got an advocate / accountability / coach to help them, right, on their journey. And so that's been really fun. I mean, and I've had, you know, the chance to work with some C-suite executives. I mean, in all caps, you know, multi-million dollar people, and at the end of the day, they're kind of lonely during the day. You see what I mean? Not when they go to their families and all that. They're occupied with their families. During the day, there is that kind of loneliness.
A lot.
Yeah. And they might be.
And I think in management too, you know, executive level and high, you know, mid management. A lot of people, some people are better team players and collaborators and working with the team. But a lot of times it is, you know, you against the world, you know, kind of the Lone Ranger mentality. And depending on, you know, where you fit into a company. So there's a lot of reasons that people in the business sector need support. I definitely I see that loud and clear. I think both of us serving that sector get that they need more support than they've ever needed. Fortunately, I believe there's a coach and a you know, there's so many different types of coaches. I mean, we could go on for days, and we have different representatives on the show to show you that, you know, for every issue you may have, for every crossroad you may be traveling, for every fork in the road you can't make up your mind which way to turn, there is somebody who is coaching that particular need you may be having.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think you know, one of the quick things I'm noticing with some of the business is don't do things to be just busy, to show you're being busy. Do things that are productive and maybe minimize, you know, some of the busy work, or outsource some of that, or just check your emails here and there. And that way it frees up time to be more creative and
right.
get more productive.
That's a huge
higher
challenge.
Order things done.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, doing some of that work, it's, you know, prioritization. You know, I work a lot in what's the top, what's most important, what's next, mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3. But, you know, there's so much busy work that hits emails, that hits the average business person, that it is so easy to get caught up in that minutia that you can't focus on, you know, the key things you were hired to do in a company. Right?
Exactly.
So, you know, if you're a sales executive, you're hired to bring customers and push revenue forward. But so that's the big challenge day to day. I think it's a challenge, honestly, Bruce, day to day for anybody who's a working professional.
Sure.
Is, you know, we get caught up in all the shit that needs done day to day instead of prioritizing important things.
Yeah. You know, I usually try to tell people not to check their email until noon and get the core stuff done during the day. And I violate my own rule and I check my email first thing. And sure enough, I got a few, you know, I'm chasing some rabbit holes as a result of looking that email first thing in the morning.
Yeah,
And I'm violating my own rule. So, that's a big one.
Yeah. You got to overcome it. You know, that not I know when I was, you know, corporately employed, it became a huge burden on me too. But self-employed, I scan emails to see just what needs responded to. You know, I don't, if I get caught up in opening all this stuff I get, man, I'd be, you know, because you get sidetracked too easy. All of a sudden you're on something that doesn't really matter. It's not even on your to-do list, you know what I mean, for the day. You know, you're siloed over somewhere and you go, whoa, where you back, you know, reel yourself back from an hour of wasted time, right? So I think everybody can relate to getting pulled into the mirror with emails, you know. So I'm a big believer in a to-do list for the day and what are the priorities. And I think everybody gets pulled. And if you're in a corporate office, you know, there's always somebody pulling you into their priorities. And, you know, the higher ups dictate a lot of how you spend your day. And your whole day can go sideways because somebody else's priorities shift, you know?
Exactly. So, I think that, it's the other thing that I think is good about coaching is that every day is a new day. And also because if I take on that role and duty as somebody's coach, look, we're all entitled to having bad days, but I need to kind of really get to the – if I'm having a bad day or I wake up having a bad day, I need to get to the core of that pretty damn quick. You know what I mean? Because if I'm going to go and interact with my clients, right, can't be going in there all pissy and agitated or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I try to live a life that's free of pissiness. Agitation.
Well, that's a good point because I've heard that from other people. Actually,
except for caffeine.
Yeah. Got to have that. You know.
Sorry, man. I'm just going to say that right now. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I got to have that coffee. But no, that's a good point. So, how do you do that? You know,
how do I do that?
Maybe you know some tips for our audience.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
because it's so important
it,
when you're serving other. You know, when you're in a profession where you have to show up and be in coaching posture, totally present for the client. You do have to get into the moment. It's all about them.
Right,
and you can't bring your stuff in.
Well,
I guess you could if you get to know somebody well enough. You know, we do have that back and forth sometimes.
And I think for me, just speaking for me, and you know, I've really, you know, I'm in my mid-50s. I've been in a helping capacity for many years. And so that's been an identity of mine, right, for many, many years. And so I've had to run true to that. Almost a quarter of a century in federal prison system. you got to wake up and have a good day regardless. And I mean, people are dying. You're working with pedophiles, murderers, whatever. So you really got to keep that game face on regardless. But you know, taking that into private practice or whatever, just really, you know, man, I'm going to tell you, it's just trying to live a life that's not so complicated and hectic. Also, behind the scenes, you know what I mean? Like, I'll go home and I'll try to eat decently, and I don't eat decently, you know, try to rest, try to be a decent family member. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm not doing anything, you know what I mean? If I'm not doing anything stressful in my life, I'm not going to bring that forward into my work, if that makes any sense.
Right,
so it just
right.
kind of helps me be in check.
Keep the simple life simple mm-hmm. and right. balanced to the best right. of your ability. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I travel, and oh my gosh, you travel so much, and that is a little stressful. But man, if that's the stress I have to deal with, then that's fine. And it is stressful, but it doesn't really, you know, dampen my spirit or my worldview or my view of humanity. You know what I mean? It's just like, man, I need to get some sleep. You know what I mean? So I think that's, and also maybe my worldview of people. You know what I mean? I still think I'm fairly optimistic that I think as long as somebody has a breath in their body, they have the ability to change. Right? I've seen that in my work with sex offenders. Usually, that's the modern day leper, and everybody thinks, oh, there's 100% recidivism rate. Well, that's simply not true. The research shows that that drug addicts recidivate at more than sex offenders. I mean, it just really kind of gets me down to the core that, hey, look, you know, we're
the hope
here,
for change.
We're work with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as that person has a breath in their body, they can change.
They can make a decision.
They can make a decision.
To
they
do
can
it
change.
Different.
Whether
yeah,
it's a 95-year-old.
I'm a big believer in that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't always mm-hmm. do it, which is disappointing sometimes.
Doesn't matter.
Right?
Right. If I'm looking at a battery, if I'm looking at a big old fat car battery, marine battery, that's a big old what? That's a big repository of potential energy. And if I connect that to a good thing, then that's good. But if I connect it to a bad thing, it's bad. But it's energy nonetheless, right? And so I just see humans as a huge repository and source of potential energy, right? And we try to tap into that and get that moving.
And you try to have your perception based in a more positive perspective to the best of your ability. I'm sure you have days when you've had enough, right? Everybody does, you know. The travel thing can be, you know, it's a little more difficult. I know LAX moved 21 airlines last week and started it the day before I traveled. You know, I actually didn't have problems because I was flying on one of the airlines that didn't move. but you know, you can get caught up in some snafus traveling or in life in general. But I do like that. I too believe that in the human potential to grow and to change and to make decisions to change. It doesn't always happen. To everybody, but I do believe that in the positive potential of a human being. Yeah, I'm with you on that. So there's another thing we agree on, Bruce. Boy, you know.
Boy, that's another one. We should get a radio show.
We should have a TV show, actually.
Man,
should have a TV show.
Man, you guys just sound so good together. It's like, yeah.
Well, the coach, you know, coaching too can help. I mean, here's the deal, folks out there listening, because, you know, the coaching profession draws a lot of counselors and therapists. And just like you were saying, Bruce, you've been a helper for years, you know, being in service for years. But my opinion of coaching, and this is my opinion, is most of the time, almost all the time, people show up wanting to change and move. Now if you are looking at executive coaching, corporate coaching, sometimes the employer is thinking you need to grow and change and may be motivating you to do that and brings a coach in. But in private practice, for the most part, right, people are showing up wanting to move forward.
All right.
Do you find that? That's been my
experience. I mean, that's why, you know, that's why they're there. They want to move forward. They want something new. So, I think that, you know, it's just so fun to see these new coaches and to give them that initial skill set, tools, hope, optimism, and actually tools to help them open their coaching business. And then to see, you know, how that kind of evolves over time.
See them become successful over time,
And see them become successful or see, everybody belongs somewhere. You know what I mean? Everybody belongs somewhere. There's a round peg for the round hole. There's a square peg for the, you know, and just figuring out where they fit, you know, and that in and of itself is a journey. And so
And it's also ever evolving, yeah. You know, sometimes young people, we see a lot of young people pursue coaching as well. A lot of midlife career change folks, people wanting something different, people going through a lot of difficulty or obstacles or trauma in their own life that want to use that experience to support and help others who are going through similar things. I see a lot of that. But even as a professional coach, your practice, your work does evolve and shift and, you know, change. And sometimes you'll be serving one group of people and all of a sudden it leads to a whole nother group of people, which is interesting. You know, it's very dynamic, I think, and it's evolving as it's evolving.
Yeah. Yeah. So in everybody's journey is a little bit different. Different opportunities take people in different ways, you know, so. Absolutely.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit before we wrap up today, Bruce, about, you know, I know this is a complex subject, but you know, why somebody might need a coach. You know, if somebody's sitting out there going, you know, I'm starting to get this coaching thing. I hear, you know, the term thrown around a lot. Maybe they don't really understand it completely, but they're getting a better idea of what it means. People in general, you know, why might they need a coach in your mind? It's a loaded question.
Well, I mean, if somebody's feeling stuck,
definitely
if you're feeling stuck, and stuck professionally, stuck personally, you feel like you're not moving forward. Man, that is a great time to get a coach on board. You know,
Or you really want to move forward and you know, you're taking two steps forward and one back, or you have too much pull in you, maybe in your personal life to get the movement you need, because sometimes that just means you need a shift in how you get support and resources to support you to offload stuff so that you can focus on the things that will make you more happy, fulfilled, and move your life forward.
Yeah, for sure.
So definitely somebody stuck, you know, somebody who just, you know, they want movement, but they can't quite get it. They can't quite get there. They need, you know, the two heads are better than one, you know, process going to get them now, movement.
So, and again, I'm thinking back of people I've seen in the coaching classes, and I think we've had these kind of mid-career or mid-late career, if you will, professionals, right? I mean, you know what? I'm one of them. I mean, just think about it. You know, I retired from the Justice Department. I had my own practice, and because of an opportunity, I was told to go to life coaching school, and there I was sitting there in class. So, because of, you know, kind of destiny brought me there because I was in transition, right, from a federal career to a private practice consulting career,
right,
and so. That's what happened. And I know there were several other people in the audience in several classes I visited, Cindy, where they had retired as school teachers or, you know.
Yeah, but they were in transition.
Or their kids had grown up and they were looking to do something else, or they had tried to sell Scentsy candles. Just kidding. Anyway, and then, you know, and they something better. Sorry, man, can't resist. But we're laughing because, you know, it's like, yeah, man.
Oh, well, coaching, yeah, we could. We better not get going on it because I could throw some serious ones out, and then we're going to get people calling in going, that is
the dark side. You're talking about me. I'm suing you. No, I didn't say your name, dude. So, but yeah.
They definitely are looking to turn corners and change their lives professionally. Sometimes, you know, I have a couple clients right now who are actually more than a couple who really are doing a great job in launching private practices while they're still employed and utilizing their employment to hone their skills and to do different things in the workplace, which are honing their skills and getting them in front of people and actually getting referrals, which is kind of, you know, another option out there. It's not an all or nothing kind of program. Some people work full time at this profession. Some people work part time. It's really, you know, as everybody who's in business for themselves knows, you know, you can let it own you or you can, you know, manage and enjoy it. And so there's people who are still employed, who have jobs combined. I mean, there's people who speak and train and teach and coach, and there's people who are employed in the corporate world who do some coaching on the side. So different ways to approach it.
Right. And you know, applaud those people that are able to do that. You know, they're able to do that while they're still employed. And I'm encouraging a lot of people to do that as they're finishing their core careers. And that way they can seamlessly make that transition from their corporate job.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it makes sense to jump, to leap, you know, to hope the parachute, you know.
Right.
Right.
Because you know what? If you wait till tomorrow, you know what I mean? Tomorrow might not come.
That's
just the bottom line. And I think, you know, the older I get, the more I'm about taking that leap. And sure, it's easy for me to say because I'm an outsider looking in, but I really think that that's, for many people, it's good to get them to make a decision to move forward.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of action. It takes, you know, more than just the decision to do it. It's continually deciding to keep moving forward, to keep doing, because success doesn't happen overnight in any profession, right?
It doesn't. It doesn't.
So there's work to be done, and it's a continual work over a period of time before success can happen. And, you know, that's one of my, you know, sometimes concerns with some people is they really don't understand how much work it really will be, and that they're going to, whether they hire, and hopefully they hire a coach to support them, but they're going to be in the boat with them, but they're going to have to row the boat. You know, the client's going to be rowing that boat and moving their life and their business forward. And it is a lot of work, and some people may not have business experience. And so that's always a deficit if you don't, because it's challenging to want to get out there and be an incredible coach, but not have a business background to help you, you know, move a practice, because it is a business. Right. You know, it's not just a service.
It is
not just
a
help.
That's right.
It's totally a business.
You know, right. And if I build it, they will come. And I was kind of mean to that last group of yours where I said, hey, there's a lot of good coaches out there, but there's a lot of them that never get off the ground because they don't do what it takes to get the business off the ground.
Sometimes they don't have the skills. they just don't have them.
Right.
So that's when you have to hire a coach to help you do that, and somebody who's got those skills. The skills you're lacking, you need support. You just do. Because, you know, if you're going to do everything by yourself, you may not get there, you know?
Exactly.
The Lone Ranger sometimes, right? You know, may not finish first, right?
Right. So, you know, you have to, you know, either get the help or do the steps necessary. I know we just got about, you know, we got 2 minutes, but even with this show, people ask me, gosh, how'd you get your own show? I'm like, well, I kind of knew somebody and I asked and devoted the resources to get this show. You know what I mean? And we have this show, and it's a component of what we do as coaches and sharing with people the gospel of coaching. And even this show, Cindy, right, has taken on and evolved. Since I first thought about having the show, and it's kind of proof.
It's fabulous. Another way just to experience and hear people's stories, and you know, share and them to share with the audience what they're out there doing. I mean, there's just a lot of good causes going on with people that come on the show that are really out there doing some incredible work with people. So I'm just grateful that we, you know, put our heads together and came up with doing this, because it's big. I mean, you know, one person, how much they can influence, affect change in the world is amazing. It's powerful.
And you know what? And I know we got to go in a minute, but this show has really helped other coaches get their business off the ground and, you know, talk about their books and their coaching stuff. And so we're glad to have people come on here, and we get them on iTunes and Google Play and our archives, and it links to the internet and it helps their businesses index on SEO. So we're here for you. All right. Well, there it is, folks.
We are.
The end of the show. So, hey, feel free to reach me. Yeah.
Always a pleasure. Coach. Always a pleasure.
ConcierceCoach.net. Come see us on our Facebook at Concierge Coaches Show. Also, Twitter at Cameron Coaches. And Cindy, what's your contact info?
WisdomFoods.com. At AOL.com and website wisdomfoods.com and 714-943-6206. If you have any questions or I can be of service, I'm available.
Sounds great. So until next week, we'll see you again here on LA Talk Radio at the Concierge Coaches Show. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks. Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.